SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and in less than a minute, three votes, all saying, yes, of course, Ed Bettimonium. Ed, don't reveal yet. Don't do the big reveal. Now somebody said no, and I did put a proviso in. I said no, but he did eat some cotton candy. He may not have Bettimonium, but in the spirit of the fair, he had cotton candy. I'll admit that Tina and I did have maple cotton candy at the Washington County Fair. It's one of our favorite things, maple cotton candy. Ed DeRosa, where were you last week? We were searching all over for you.
Yeah, I had. I was having a, not to get too personal, but was having a procedure, and they ended up taking me early, and I popped some Valium beforehand at a little after 11. And wasn't expecting to be taken early, but any time you can just get it over with, you know, my wife had driven me, so that's what ended up happening. So I do apologize, and I meant to drop you a note.
No problem.
I was out of it, so but appreciate the chance to give out some winners this week.
Outstanding. Well, and we're going to save the big reveal about Timonium for the end of the visit. Don't let me forget. And meanwhile, some thoughts from you. We've done some survey. Marty McGee earlier. Yesterday, Jenny Reese. Some final thoughts about Ellis, who did enjoy a good meet. They lost a day to a water main break. That wasn't so good, but they were still up. Handle was good, and the racing looked, when I got a chance to follow it, it looked like it was a very good season at the Pea Patch.
Absolutely, yeah. Kudos to them with what they've done with their program the last few years. There's been some signs of positive momentum, and we've seen for various reasons some out of racing hands, some not, but that, you know, can sometimes go the other way or someone ends up taking the momentum from you. But Ellis has kept it going, and this year I thought was no exception. And agree with the positive thoughts. And for me, as someone who, you know, really digged into Churchill and Keeneland and Churchill again in November, I love seeing, you know, Ellis definitely kind of feature more prominently is an integral part of that Kentucky circuit. And I mean, I don't say this pejoratively. I mean, everyone knows who follows me on Twitter. There's no track I won't play and don't mind the minor league, so to speak. But as I said, as someone who does handicap Churchill and Keeneland and looks for horses and form and stuff like that, to see more of those types at Ellis, you know, versus that being more of a circuit with, say, Belterra and some of the Ohio racing and Mountaineer, I think it's a positive for the Commonwealth in general. So, you know, Ellis and Del Mar had great meets. Saratoga, unfortunately, with the weather, had some struggles. But I thought overall a great, exciting summer, and looking forward to seeing it play out over the next few weeks as we march toward the Breeders' Cup.
Absolutely, and particularly it feels like we've got the makings early on of a strong juvenile crop, and that cuts across both the main track and the turf. Kentucky Downs already contributing at the end of Del Mar and at the end of Saratoga. You know, we got the juvenile turf races established, and you know, to me, that has been one of the biggest developments in the sport has been that whole category that was spearheaded by the Breeders' Cup, adding juvenile turf racing to the cards. And at the time, everybody scoffed and rolled their eyes and said, oh, what a pandering maneuver this is to the Europeans. And all it managed to do was create a serious set of generation turf juveniles for American runners, and that certainly ended up being a fascinating development, and you see it in all of these programs now.
Yeah, no, the turf racing is fantastic, and just short-term results. I mean, you had the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf last year produce the Travers Stakes Exacta on dirt this year, which is incredible, not to mention all the other accolades that field has achieved both here and overseas. And I know we've talked about this heading into big weekends at Woodbine and Arlington, but just the turf racing in general, and I know a frequent guest here, Sid Fernando's, talked about this, but I just think, and it's so much fun as a player to have this variety and now see the variety at all levels, including grade one and all ages. But even, you know, beyond the juvenile ranks, which I agree with you, get full fields. But, I mean, just seeing these quality animals, you know, with the Million and the Sword Dancer and the races Kentucky Downs is putting together this weekend, which we'll talk about. A horse like Sister Charlie, I would be comfortable putting her up against anyone. I mean, I hope good Euros come and maybe we get a price on her in the Breeders' Cup. I think she's been electrifying. And those, seeing those type of horses, knowing they can compete on a world stage, has been a big boon to the industry the past 5 to 10 years.
Absolutely. Well, let's dive in. And Kentucky Downs undoubtedly on your agenda, but not limited to. What are you looking at?
Yeah, we're definitely off dirt with the big picks this week, and we will get to Kentucky Downs. But wanted to mention the two-year-old races at Arlington, which, because they're on poly track, may end up producing some starters that could go either way. It could see them on the turf. The connections could decide dirt, depending on where they broke their maiden. So I think the two stakes up there are worth paying attention to this weekend. In the futurity, Big Drink of Water, I do think is worth the favoritism. The win on Scent, to me, sticks out. And the reason I say that is because the two competitors to him, which really offer no value either. But number one, Distant Shore, owned by the Churchill Downs Racing Club, was awesome at Indiana Grand, got the second fastest first net number of any two-year-old maiden. The only one who got a faster one was his stablemate, Empress Serengeti, who won at Ellis. So the form is held up in terms of the numbers at Indiana Grand. The concern is Algorithms just a 5% sire on Sins, and that's with more than 100 starts. So a little concerned about them, about this one trying Polytrack, but the timing obviously fits, and maybe the horse is just good enough. And then Nick's Go also fits, but Sire Painter is 0-for-24 with his progeny on Polytrack. So at short prices, I might stick with the horse, even though he's the favorite. Big Drink of Water is one on the synthetic, and might just stick with him. Since all three figure to get that.
Yeah, we just talked with Marcus, so I'm glad you followed up with your take. What else?
And then in the Lassie, Metal Star, who I'm hearing might not go for Brad Cox. That is a filly, though. If she were to go, I would play to try the synth, because I think she might be the longest price with others backing the horses who have won on Polytrack. If she doesn't go, I'll probably look for a long shot, though, and that'd be number one, Into Trouble. Gets the rail, and I think synthetic for Into Mischief should be no problem. So watch the scratch board for the Lassie. I do like Meadow Star if Brad decides to run her. Otherwise, Into Trouble from the rail at a price I think is worth a look.
Excellent. All right.
Heading south down 65 toward Nashville, Kentucky Downs, of course, their big card. I looked at the closing pick three of their five stakes pack. It starts with the Lady Sprint. And I'm pretty intrigued by Noted and Quoted in here, a grade one winner from the Baffert Barn. But this will be second time Stidham, who has some decent numbers in that regard, 22%. This is only her third turf start. And yesterday when I was there, Brian Hernandez was hanging out between races and one he didn't ride, and he mentioned to some gathered around him that he really thought Kentucky Downs was definitely the type of track where cutbacks seemed to do well. And I know that, you know, that's not like that's a secret angle or anything, but the fact that he mentioned it there is sort of a positive, and obviously not every horse takes to the unique style of racing at Kentucky Downs, but Noted and Quoted has that second time. Stidham, as I mentioned, and at 15-1, I think she's worth a price, and I'll play her across and then here with the logicals and the verticals, Lull, Ruby Notion, and Brielle's Appeal.
Okay. All right, that's a good option because we've been hearing, you know, how much people are going to lean on Lull. So some alternate choices and horses to look at doesn't hurt in there.
Yeah, and I think Stidham, I'll have to play the Stidham double in the two turf sprints because I think his pro forma in the complimentary Kentucky Cup sprint, Bravo's in to ride three for Michael, and this is one of them in a 20-1 morning line. You never know what you're going to get. John Lee's don't envy the position having to make these lines for these full fields with AEs and all that, but you know, 10-1 would probably be my floor, but I could even see 30-1 if they go nuts on some of the no names like Conquest Pantera and Undrafted. But this horse had the top first net speed rating last out, and I think there's enough speed that maybe Bravo's the one running late for a horse who's had numbers that fit with the rest of these. So pro forma 20-1 morning line could be a big Stidham double at Kentucky Downs.
And that's a fun horse to point out. That second try on turf, the both tries on turf. In fact, interestingly, you know, pro forma's been away since he ran in the Allied Forces, which they're going to run tomorrow, of course, at Belmont, going six on the grass. Long hiatus. I mean, basically weighed 9-10 months and then showed up in the Mr. Prospector at Monmouth on the dirt and then into the Wolf Hill. And that was a really nice performance. I love it. Third off the layoff and 20-1 and totally fits in here. Bravo, yeah. knows him. There's a lot to like at that price. I mean, he's going to have to vault over, you know, two or three, you know, major players in here, but nice dig.
Yeah, we'll see. And I think there's others that could do the dirty work. So if you sit the trip, you know, good things could happen at the right price for a jockey. Definitely, you can have a lot of confidence in, especially, you know, shipping in for the trainers. Only three mounts on the days off for Michael. Kentucky Cup turf, I get a little more informed, so to speak. I think Oscar Nominated is beatable. I mean, I just see an underlays, the no name. And I won't split hairs beyond him between Multiplier or Bigger Picture. Given the prices before them, potentially, those are the two I want to be, you know, I'd be fine if I'm live to those two to close out the pick ends and the all-state pick four, pick five.
All right. Where else we going?
That's the five I got, so I guess I can answer your question.
Here it is. Let's see what the public has to say so far. Let me get the current views. And Michael Bacik wanted to know why he couldn't do both, say that you ate cotton candy and played Timonium, which is a possibility. So far, it's about two-thirds yes, one-third no. Ed DeRosa, did you play Timonium?
I did not.
Did you have cotton candy?
Yes, I was very impressed when you said that. I was like, wow, I mean, what's that? What would that prop have been? I mean, that would have been a big number. But the other day I was out with the kids. It was sweltering hot, so we did an indoor activity, and they were spinning cotton candy. And I even thought to myself, I was like, man, this is summer fair weather, and we had some. So spot on.
Oh, my God. And you can acknowledge we did not talk. I had no knowledge of that.
No, and in fact, I was waiting for Casey's call, so I was away from the desktop and hadn't even seen you put the poll up. So it wasn't even on my mind until you kind of threw it in there when you asked the question about cotton candy. I was like, man, that's amazing, because I did have cotton candy. And the whole reason I did is because it felt like it was, you know, summer fair weather here in Louisville.
Unbelievable. Well, I'm Karnak and Kreskin all in one. Unbelievable. Ed, that I'll be smiling all day as people vote. And Bacik actually scores because he did get both. He's the first person to get it right on both ends. That's tremendous. Have a great weekend. Put up those selections and we'll circulate them.
Absolutely. All right. And we'll talk to you from Woodbine next week.
You and Nick Tamro will both be there.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
Absolutely. Very good. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Ed. EJXD. Let's take a break. I got a treat, actually, and Bob Icke is going to join us. Do some with Hammer up in the Sierra Mountains and Unreachable this week. We'll talk to him next week. Bob Icke will visit, and we'll get not just a little bit of the Del Mar wrap-up from him. We're also going to mention, you know, Bob, the principal with Mark Doche in Horse Bills. And I got to tell you, had I used it more extensively earlier, I might have been that much more active adding horses to what we're doing at DT because, you know, we got the 3 2-year-olds and we've got like 10 partners involved. And there was no way I was going to be able to do the billing and all that with 10 partners. And I wasn't going to put Gary's wife Josephine through that either, having to invoice 10 different people. And, you know, Bob has said, you know, whenever you're ready to use it, we'll help you set up shop. And so he's done that. And I got to tell you, whether you're a vendor, potential vendor, or whether you've got partners, even if you got a fairly small group of partners, it's unbelievable how simple it takes a little time to get set up. Once you get set up, you'll absolutely love it. So Bob and I will talk about it a little bit in the experience, but Bob joining us to talk California and how he fared at Del Mar, what we can do to take away. And, of course, Los Al started yesterday. That maiden race I mentioned, if you didn't get a chance to see what went on in there, we'll get those results. And today, another good maiden race. I mentioned some of the players, including Strictly Biz, the Ippy Tombay colt, the Fed Biz that Samantha Siegel sending out, the $100,000 purchase. It's also a Hill and Dale bred for the Pegram Whiteman Watson team. Midnight Mystery, a war front, maybe down the road for grass? Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Used to keep it cool, used to be a fool, all about the bounce in my step. Watch it on the news, what you gonna do? I could hit refresh and forget. Used to keep it cool. Should I keep it light, stay out of the fight? No one's gonna listen to me. If I write a song, preaching what is wrong, will they let me sing on TV? Should I keep it light? Is that right?
We're back at the races, coming up on 20, into hour three. It's been a fast-moving morning, and got a great opportunity to connect with Bob Icke. And usually we see Bob in the most offbeat places, like at University of Arizona Symposium, where we'll be broadcasting from December, what is it, 3rd, 4th, 5th, I think? 3rd, 4th, 5th? Whatever those first Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Bob and Mark come to that, come over from Southern California. Vegas, we see Bob and Mark at Vegas for the NHC, and we'll be out there, of course, next February. I have to reach out to Bob as a great opportunity with Hammer hiking up in the mountains, up in the Sierras. We had to do some California, and of course, Los Al kicked off yesterday, and Del Mar wrapped up on Monday. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. And I'm very curious how you fared the way Del Mar wrapped up. And a banner meet, certainly. And it feels like a lot of the most important two-year-olds in the country are going to have, you know, their maiden diplomas printed from Del Mar going forward.
Well, we certainly saw Baffert have an incredible run with those two-year-old first-time starters. I think he won with his first nine, if my memory is correct about that. Of course, he wins the closing day Futurity with Game Winner. I think Roadster was probably the more highly regarded of the two, but Game Winner came back on pretty short rest, and he ran down Row Aiton for Jerry Hollendorfer. So Baffert's loaded. I mean, just absolutely loaded. And, yeah, you're right. I think a lot of the top two-year-olds are out here. I didn't get to watch all the Saratoga racing. I don't know how you guys do it going 6 days a week, but more power to you. But I'll go catch up on some of that stuff, obviously, before the Breeders' Cup and all. But we're strong out here at the top level. California might not have the depth of some of the other circuits, but at the top level of racing, we compete with anybody.
You know, not only were there the parade of Baffert winners on the main, but maybe a little under the radar, the closing day winner on turf, the filly Rayana, that I thought was pretty impressive, and you got to think that she's going to angle herself toward the juvenile filly turf.
She was impressive, and to me, that was one of the low percentage plays of the year, because Baffert, as great as he is not been known as a turf trainer. That was a first-time starter. She was going from the 10 hole. There was a really good horse in there named Colonial Creed, who ended up running second. I thought she looked almost unbeatable in that spot. But Rayana, even though I thought she maybe ran off a little bit early, she still had plenty left, and we saw another really good two-year-old filly on the turf, and that's Summering for Glen Hill Farm, who I thought was really impressive, winning two races at Del Mar, including the juvenile filly turf. So, yeah, we've got a couple nice ones in that division as well.
Now, and speaking of Summering, if I'm not mistaken, I think Rayana got either the same fig, you know, not that turf buyers are as important as the main track, but I got a feeling that, you know, for, and that was a mile. Yeah, it was a mile. She got a 79 buyer out of that, which puts her, you know, right at Summering's level.
Yeah, I mean, and she ran faster. I don't have the fractions in front of me, the internal splits, but the final time was faster, and 35-4 is moving pretty good for a turf debut. So, yeah, Bob Baffert, we don't have to take up any collections for him. I think he's going to be okay going forward here and powerful all the way through the end of the year.
Some other highlights for you and some other horses that maybe Bob didn't win and are going to get a chance either at Los Al here these 2 weeks or, you know, when we get back to Santa Anita a couple of weeks later.
Well, I mean, I really thought the story of the meet was what certain trainers did there. I mean, Peter Miller's horses, you know, were incredible. He won, I'm not sure what his final total was, but I think he was at least 30% for the meet. What John Sadler did in the big races, winning the Pacific Classic with Accelerate and Catalina Cruiser and the Pat O'Brien, he won a stakes with Shenandoah Queen. So he was really winning, you know, most of the major races down there. And then as far as a jockey, I thought Drayden Van Dyke, to me, who I always thought was a pretty solid rider. I think he took a step forward this summer and put himself up there in the category of a Flavien Prat, who I sort of thought stood out on this circuit. I thought Flavien was kind of head and shoulders above everybody else. But the way Pratt rode at Del Mar, the kind of horses he was getting, some of the two-year-olds for Baffert, et cetera. So he stepped forward, and it looks like those guys might have a real good rivalry going forward. So, you know, I really thought it was those guys who dominated. At one point in the meet, I looked at the jockey standings. The top four guys were all, you know, in the 18 to 25% range, and everybody else below them was 10 to 12%. So there was some domination going on in the standings out at Del Mar this summer.
Among the lesser known or the, you know, the smaller to medium sized barns, I'll tell you somebody that I don't know overall how his meet was, but I can tell you that every time I looked up the last, I don't know, 10 days maybe, Jeff Bondi was winning, and that included a pair of stakes. He won the Surf with that Miss Sunset and Mike Smith, and Gary Stevens in the Juvenile Turf, a 100th stake win at Del Mar in Gary Stevens' great Hall of Fame career. But Bondi also had like a $150 winner last week.
Yeah, I think his meet started slow. I know his percentage was not strong early, but he really he did come on. As you said, he won a couple of those stakes races. And, you know, that one filly that he has, Miss Sunset, is just so tough. The clockers never like her. She got a little hot on the track that day, but she just outclassed those other cowbreds in the race. And I'll tell you another barn who is low profile but had a heck of a meet is Andrew Lerner. He's a young guy, and he's get a little plug in. He's actually a Horse Bills client, and we got him early on, and he put a claiming stable together for the meet, and I think he hit at 33% on a limited number. So he's a guy to watch going forward, a young trainer just starting out but had really good success.
You know, and we'll talk about Horse Bills. I gave everybody the, you know, the little plug. But in regards to new outfits, I happened to have noticed that David May and his wife, Anna May, she's going to go out on her own. I see she's ready to start a public stable.
Yeah, David May and his wife, and he was an assistant for Richie Baltus for a number of years, and they're going to go out on their own and, you know, hopefully another client for us, but we wish them well. David's been doing really well in the bloodstock business as well, picking a lot of those horses out, and he works for some major outfits and, you know, goes to these sales, and he'll be buying a lot of good horses, so we're looking forward to them going out on their own and seeing what they can do. I mean, it's always, you know, it's got to always be a little scary going out on your own after sort of the comfort of working for an established barn, but I think David and Anna are really up for the challenge, so we're looking forward to seeing that.
Well, and in fact, the winner yesterday in the, of the Old Friends was a horse that that David picked out.
Yeah, that's right.
Neck Shares.
Kentucky Downs, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And very nice. I picked up on that yesterday, and I thought since you mentioned Lerner, I would throw out, and that's a great sign. In fact, one of the big things at Saratoga was all the upstart horsemen and women that have hung shingles and are getting started, and that's a perfect transition, Bob, to talk about horse bills. And I'm just kind of lauding the product because I'm using it now. I mean, I had been signed up from way back when we first started to feature you and Mark, you know, visiting and introducing the concept. And this is really my first chance to be, you know, in on the program on a regular basis. We've got almost a dozen partners in these 3 2-year-olds, and it's just too taxing a challenge to bill everybody without a product like this. It's remarkable what you guys have done.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. You've been a big supporter. We finally got you on board with your horses, and you can now see, you know, hands-on what it can do, especially the syndicate functionality, as you mentioned, you know, whether your partnership has two horses or two partners or 22 partners. It's really just a matter of getting the information into our system. Put the horse in, we put the partners in and their email addresses and the percentages that they own, and then, you know, enter the bills that come in, create a line item out of those and a few clicks, and as you saw as we went through it, your invoices are sent, and then your partners are able to have a free account, receive those invoices, see them on their dashboard, go ahead and pay you via e-check or credit card right through the site. You never have to leave. It's one-stop shopping, and that's what we've tried to do, and we put a lot of years into this and building it and keep trying to perfect it and make it better day by day, and we'll continue to do so. But we appreciate your support and getting you guys on board as well.
When it comes to the vendors from that side, and obviously, you know, I don't have the same familiarity, but for trainers sending out bills, obviously it's got to have the same benefit.
It does. You know, you can create a line item for one horse. Say you're a trainer and the day rate is, you know, pretty much you've had every horse in your barn in for the month, and the charge is going to be the same. Or you create the line item for one horse and go to a different screen, click that a button that will create them for all the current horses in your stable. So, you know, with two clicks, you've created, for example, the day rate line item for every horse in your barn. Again, you have 100 horses. That's saving you quite a bit of time of going through and doing each one individually. We also have the functionality that once all the line items are created, one click will turn them into draft invoices. You're able to review them there. And another click, you're able to send everything. So there's no separate emailing to be done or anything like that. It's very much really speeded up the process, made it much more efficient. And Mark and I do the invoicing for a lot of these barns ourselves. So we're using the site all the time. We're making it better. And we estimate that you can save 90% of the time that you would normally do by invoicing by using horsebills.com.
Very nice. And I'm curious about people like van companies the farrier. I'm still looking ahead to, you know, paying, you know, when the time comes to pay other vendors. Obviously, if there's a full circuit of connections, you know, how easy is that? How much, you know, how much of those connections are available, or is that kind of an evolving thing? Is it something that individual, like somebody like me, as a stable manager, should I be inviting, you know, the farrier to sign on, and is there, what are the costs involved for people like on that end?
Right, absolutely. I mean, the more people that are signed up and the more entities that are using it, the site becomes better, because as you said, you can be receiving the bill from the farrier, the trainer, the van company, the vet, and then you're able to pay them back through the site. So there is vendor-to-vendor billing. Currently, we don't have any way of, say, for you to pay a bill to a vendor that's not part of Horse Builds. That's in the works, and we're working with our payment company on that, but that's currently not available. So, yeah, we encourage owners, because it's a free account to owners, to, you know, if you want to go in there, enter your bills manually, track your bills, have year-end accounting, but also encourage your trainers and vendors to get on board, because then you're receiving those invoices directly. Everything's accounted for, and you're able to pay right through the site. So, yeah, the more the merrier. That's definitely the way the system is built. The more vendors, the more owners, everybody can be interconnected, sort of like a spider web, and that's when it's going to be most efficient.
No, it's remarkable. I've got 12 people in on these three horses. Some have 20% of two and 10% of another. Others have 10% of two and 5% of other. So to break all that out and to have that all done in a couple of clicks, there's chat help. There's help from you and Mark when necessary. And I cannot recommend this enough. I don't know why I was so intimidated from, you know, expanding and getting into a situation like this, Bob, with the a three horse package. I mean, the horses kind of came together, and the next thing I knew, you know, I had to go out and bring some people in, and then it became obvious. Now that that's all happened, it's made me realize that not a missed opportunity, but I shouldn't have been intimidated. And if this is something that has held others back, don't be shy, because you've got a tool that will cut your workload exponentially. It can't be overemphasized. So I've been recommending it for years on the strength of just looking at it, and now using it, I'm only that much more enthusiastic. So great job by you and Mark and the team, and we'll see you soon, right? When you come into either Arizona again, or am I going to see you at Breeders' Cup?
Yeah, not Arizona this year. Maybe staying home a little more this year, but maybe I'll get lucky and qualify for NHC and see up there again, and that would be
there
fun.
You
again,
go.
We've always appreciated your support, Steve, and you're on board now, so people should not look at it as a lost opportunity. The site has continued to evolve and get better, and if you have any intimidation about getting involved and the technology is a bit scary or the online security, you know, please give Mark or myself a call or an email. We're there, you know, I don't want to say 24/7, but we really pride ourselves on customer service and helping new people get on board. If you go to our website, you can sign up for a free webinar. We'll walk you through and show you how the site works. We'll give you a 60-day free trial. And again, owner accounts are free. So if you go to horsebills.com, you can see all that. Shoot me an email, bob@horsebills.com, and we'll take care of you.
Outstanding. Horsebills.com, just as it sounds. Bob Ike and Mark Dosh. And, of course, you can hear Bob. You're still doing radio, right, on the weekends?
Yeah, still on with Jay Privman on Saturdays, and a lot of times Mike Wilman on Sundays. We're out here on KLAA in Southern California, home of the Angels. So, yeah, we're having a lot of fun with that. A little downtime for me during Los Al. I'm going to recharge my battery and come out strong for the San Anita Fall meet.
No, wait a minute. Who's hosting the show tomorrow? Because I think Jay's got some plans for tomorrow.
Jay does have some plans. It's called a wedding, so he's John Lindo will host tomorrow. He's going to fill
okay.
in, and we'll head down to Del Mar again and have a little party at the plaza out there and celebrate Jay's wedding.
Outstanding. Well, we hope he breaks the glass with one stomp, and we're very pleased for Jay and Ann. Bob, thanks so much for this. I appreciate it, and we'll talk and see you soon.
Great. Thank you, Steve. Take care of yourself.
Bob Ike, everybody, and Bob, of course, familiar for years as one of the top opinions in Southern California, and this concept, you've been in on the origin of it from day one when Bob kind of surprised me. I don't know where we were, and he said, you know, I want to. He dropped a flyer and he said, you know, I want to talk to you about this. Mark Doshi and I are launching this horsebills.com. Okay, and the minute I saw it, I understood the practical application. But until you start using it, you can't imagine how much of an improvement it will be to your accounting for whatever side of equine industry you're involved in. Horsebills.com. Let's take a break. James Scully is going to join us, and we'll get opinions from Scully from around the globe. We'll see what he is into. He was playing golf last week, so no cotton candy for Scully. He joins us next at the Races Weekend Preview. If we have time, I might try one other little gambit. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I can't understand the people of the day. See each other down, or live a hand in way. This has been going on for years and years. Humanity's glass floor on its first year. Your blood's red.
'84 with Wrinkle in Our Time. I love this. And we just have time for James Scully to join us. No golf for Scully today. James, how'd you hit him?
Yeah, I struggled, Steve. I'll tell you, I gotta get a lesson or something. I've been saying that for years, but I'm just just can't, like, you know, get over the hump, it just seems like, out there. But I'm glad I could be your knight on the chessboard this morning. the knight has an unusual way of moving on the among the chess pieces. So I'm glad I could fill that role.
I appreciate it. And, of course, I have to follow up from the visit with DeRosa. And did you bet Timonium last week?
I did not, but I am going to have some funnel cakes and bet the Los Al County Fair this weekend. So I got that going for me.
Good job. Good job. It's funny you mentioned funnel cake. Tina had been talking about funnel cake when we were on our way to the fair. And then when we were standing right in front of it, and she was about to order, she turned to me and said, I can't eat that. She said, I'm not going to eat that. She goes, will you help me? I said, no, I'm not eating that. It's an oil sponge. I said, absolutely not. So we went and got kettle corn and, there's a guy in this area, Adirondack Kettle Corn. And, you know, he shows up at different events. His kettle corn is really good, and we get a.
I think
get a
got
big...
a, well, they got a kettle corn stand there at the track. I don't know if it's Adirondack or not.
They don't. Have,
but I noticed that this year.
That one, it's not. It's not our guy. I think there was might have been one summer that he came. There might have been one Saratoga season that he was on the track. Or it might even only been for Travers Day. I'm thinking about it. I'm going way back as a vendor, but there used to be that the one that was at Churchill for several seasons was outstanding. Tina and I, when we would leave after Derby, we would get two bags for the drive home, but now it's somebody different. And it's not. I don't think it's as good as the one that used to be at Churchill. But the guy in this up here, Adirondack Kettle, really, really good. So there's our kettle corn treatise for today. And
always educational, Steve.
Well, it. You know who loves kettle corn is Tammy Fox. So if you find a good one, bring Tammy a bag. Your summer recap. We didn't talk to you, last week, so we don't know, your thoughts on how things went at Travers and wrap up Del Mar, Saratoga, Ellis, and everything else for you for the summer.
Yeah, well, I'll say, as far as the main event there, the Travers Catholic Boy, people will point out you got the right trip and was on the right part of the track, but I was still impressed. I still really like that effort, and I think he's in a good spot going forward. Just much improved from earlier this year. He did bleed in the Florida Derby, but that Sam F. Davis wasn't any good at that effort. So I think that Pennine Ridge and Belmont Derby have really moved him forward. It'll be interesting to see. I know Jonathan Thomas had mentioned the Hill Prince as a possible prep, and I'd say go for it. I think a turf race like that could have that same kind of effect where, it's a really good setup for him. $500,000 and it's only 3-year-olds. He might be able to win that. It might not be that tough a race for him. I thought two of the most impressive performances of the race, and they're both going to have an immediate bearing on the Breeders' Cup, one runners, obviously Imperial Hen. I was against him that day. He did some training mishap, missed a word, but he was just awesome. And Promises Fulfilled, and even Whitmore, awesome on Travers Day. Whitmore's really improved this year. He's coming along. He's sort of in between distances, though I don't know if 6 furlongs is still his best trip, but looks like he's going to go for the sprint through the Phoenix. And Promises Fulfilled, just wonderful. Another really good win in that Alan Jerkins. I was even more impressed with this Amsterdam, though, because he sat in second willingly. He hadn't shown the willingness to do that in the previous starts, and he let Strike Power go and then just blew him away in the stretch. So really some good sprinters. Out west, you had Accelerate and Catalina Cruiser, major players in the classic Dirt Mile. Won state races there, but really the 2-year-olds look pretty salty coming going forward out of there. With I thought the the Bellafina and the Spinaway and Instagram and Green Winner, even Roy Aitken, I thought ran a good race. So some nice two-year-olds out west right now. We'll see how the ones in Saratoga, do going forward. It was tough there losing 50 races. That was a good post you highlighted yesterday, because that's like a week's worth of races, almost 50 races to the main track, to off the turf. But I guess that's a brief summary, Steve.
That's great. I wanted to get it. I mean, because everybody's got, everybody sees different things and notices different, portions of those performances, and it's worth hearing. And everybody, that comes through the show, particularly, weekend previewing and has followers, and it's important that they, they know, what performances resonated with you going forward. And let's talk about what performances may resonate here over this weekend. And, of course, we're making a transition. Belmont opening today. Laurel reopens today. Los Al yesterday. I just sent out a from the Fonner Park team, Chris Katulak. They're racing at Lincoln this weekend in Nebraska, and they keep racing alive in the Cornhusker state. So keep that in mind and support that. And everywhere you look, we've got something that includes the BC Derby up at Hastings. I wanted to slip that one in. I'll remind about Finger Lakes before it gets too late. They've got the Aspirant and the Lady Finger. And then, of course, Kentucky Downs, we've been talking about all week. Some thoughts, James, about where to play this
couple of days. Well, I'll make a couple points on Kentucky Downs, but I'll start off first off at Woodbine. They got a big weekend coming up next weekend. But their stake race tomorrow, the La Lornette, is a mile and a 16th on the synthetic, the Tepeda there. And Mark Cassie has two fillies in there. One of them, Miss Momentum, is going to take plenty of action. But I like his other one, number 11, Hannah Moon. She's 10-1 on the morning line. She has a pair of five furlong bullet works in preparation. And I'll tell you, when she made her second start, she made her first two races on dirt at Churchill on Oaks Day, showed pretty good speed that day. Then went to the turf, ran okay in a pair of starts, broke her maiden in an allowance effort. But last time in that Duchess, she caught a really good feel. Win with War, she was favored in the Santa Ynez earlier this year, multiple stakes winner. She basically led wire to wire. But Hannah Moon was scaring her in mid-stretch, finished a really good second in front of stakes winners, Super Stripe Striking, and another decent filly in fourth. It was a short field, but it was really quality field, I thought. And that was her first effort on synthetic. I look forward to move forward off that, stretching back out in distance. And, Malibu Moon, filly out of a Quiet American Mare. And plus, she also gets blinkers on, so I expect her to be forwardly placed. I'm looking for a big effort from number 11, Hannah Moon.
That's a runner that we've thought something of for a while, going back to the first time we remembered hearing her name from Mark. So nice. Hannah Moon,
then,
writing these down.
I'll make a mention just like watching yesterday at Kentucky Downs. I'm not going to put too much stock in this opinion. It's 48 hours until, Saturday's program. But inside post yesterday, I thought were performed poorly. You had several favorites breaking from either post one, two, or three that lost. In five from 10 races, you only had three horses manage to hit the board from those inside posts yesterday. And you had about five or six that were like 5-1 or less that were out of the money. And instead, horses breaking from the outside, which is typically 10, 11, 12 there because they have such big full fields in nearly every race, they hit the board like 11 horses hit the board. And there was a string of like 10, 10, 12, 10. And they were, going off at big odds, Steve. One 50-cent trifecta with a 12 and 10 in there, Boxcar Odds, paid $1,650 for 50 cents. You had a pick three that was like $1,340 for 50 cents. So there's some money to be made there. I think Nick had mentioned earlier about one score could take care of a lot of losses, and that's certainly the case there. So that's something I'll be paying close attention to early on Saturday. That turf course could be a little tut up with the rain they could have, and
want to mention that. The other factor, of course, is Mike Baker. And, you know, he's won more. He is absolutely Chad Brown at Saratoga this year. He has won more races the last 2 years than any other trainer at Kentucky Downs. And once again, he's off to a fast start. He's 5 for 12. And it's not like he's running that many more starts. Wesley Ward is 2 for 11. Joe Sharp's 1 for 7. And Wilkes is 1 for 2. Between Wesley Ward, Joe Sharp, and Wilkes, you have nearly 3 times as many starts as Mike Maker so far, and they don't have as many wins combined. And he does have 5 horses in that Kentucky Turf Cup tomorrow, and 4 in the main body of the field. But he has a horse in there, number 9, Soglio, who, you know, he claimed for $50,000 back in December at Gulfstream, and I just think he could be the next real good turf stakes horse. He's also racing Saratoga. I thought that was a solid effort against Focus Group. He came back and won the John's Call. I think with Saez taking the mount, he's going right to the lead in a race that doesn't have much pace and has a chance to steal it. And 12-1 on the morning line, that's a horse I definitely am going to use on my multi-race tickets, and I'll bet a little money on him straight.
Both points are well made, James, because I was waiting all month, really, of August for the Three Diamonds, the Wyckoff team, to, you know, kind of snap two, and they never really did, and Maker overall, and so it is notable that they start to pop here as soon as they started to run. Julian Leperu too, which is inexplicable.
Four wins.
It's just unbelievable that you know, and I know people love to, I've never seen a guy that you know, horse players love to bust on more than Julian Leperu, and yet it, you know, he did have a couple of stake wins at Saratoga. It's not the, you know.
Well, yeah, he won 2 big turfs. He won the Bowling Green and the Sword Dance.
Yeah, and other, and something else too. Another, then he won a third as well, one of the minor stakes, and he gets over there. And listen, it is turf. It is Euro style, and blah blah blah. He comes alive, and I noticed the outposting runners as well yesterday. That when I was going through particularly the first half of the card, and then because I didn't get to see all those races, and then I watched the late action, and it was very apparent that being outside was helpful.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll give you one other horse right in the Kentucky Downs Juvenile Turf Sprint, number 3, Fairway Kitten. 12-1 on morning line. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what he opens up at, because I went back and watched that debut. Really nice effort there, Steve. He was in between horses in the stretch and fought off a couple challengers to win by a half length. Really has some class in his extended female family. His full sister won only on turf. His dam, Indian Charlie, should provide a little speed and was strictly a turf horse. Won a couple of won both her races for Gary Contessa. Fairway Kitten's dam did on the turf. So I think this colt, this Kitten's Joy colt, number 3 in race 6, has a big upside. And he's my top pick in the first of the 5 stakes tomorrow.
What else we got?
The other horse that I'm going to talk about on is that White Flag for Clermont. I know that horse is. I think that race really has the potential to fall apart. You know, I'll use number 2 Pro Forma as well for Stidham, but I'm going to give number 7. Got a huge late pace number from us last time. That was a really solid effort. Returning to stakes company, he actually won his lone stakes win was in that Allied Forces at 6 furlongs last year on the opening day of Belmont. So. I'm going to give him a little bit of a look, and he's 6-1 on the morning line.
That's funny. Ed found Pro Forma as well, and I thought that there was a lot of merit to that suggestion. On your PPs, as it happens, on the BrisNet numbers and late pace and those kinds of things, prime power, what at a place like Kentucky Downs, which is so unique, James, what do you find is the most useful among your, you know, among the ultimate PPs by Briss? What stats seem to hold best water?
Well, I mean, you know, definitely I love the late pace numbers for turf races because, you know, pace doesn't make the race in turf. You know, a lot of it is just horses, you know, rate and then they finish. So those numbers are always important. But even the early pace numbers can have some relevance because, you know, sometimes the turf will play a little speed favor and, you know, running down that hill into the stretch. So, you know, it's but definitely the pace numbers on in turf races more than the speed rating, Steve.
Nice. Well, we got about, I don't know, 30, 45 seconds. Any other
bushes? Hey, I wanted
bushes?
To make a quick mention. You guys mentioned Jimmy Baker's Mahogany Hall. Quick story. When he came, that was a sloppy track. Gilbert Dinn nearly led all the way. When he came off the turn, you know, he ran well on the turn, and he was accelerating, and his leg slipped out from under him, and he almost went down. He went so far sideways, Steve, before he got, you know, pulled himself back up that Willie Martinez took his foot out of the iron and put it right on the track itself because he thought he was going to fall completely sideways. That was his last race of the year and went on and such. But that Derby had 14 horses. 3 years later, Silver Charm had 13 horses. I mean, that seems like a freaking lifetime ago. Eric, the Derby always has 20 horses in it. And, you know, got to give a lot of credit to, you know, influence John Asher and Ben Huffman and others. So,
well, what a nice way to actually a nice way to end the week. James, good luck this weekend. I appreciate it as always, and we'll start the march in your direction to Breeders' Cup.
All right, sounds good, Steve. Thanks. Good luck.
James Scully, everybody, and you follow James on Twitter, James_Scully111. I'm going to throw this. I just retweeted the racetrack chaplaincy that we think so highly of course, and Humberto Chavez in New York and all around the country. They celebrate at Breeders' Cup the White Horse Awards, and next Friday is the deadline. So nominate for the White Horse Award, which goes to individuals that have done something heroic on behalf of human or equine. The Community Service Award, an award given to an individual that's made a significant contribution to the welfare of the racetrack chaplaincy ministries overall. And also the Tribute to Excellence Award, a posthumous award that goes to an individual who's demonstrated professional excellence and leadership in the horse racing industry. And that... I think we know where that will end up. Go to the chaplaincy website, rtcanational.org, and nominate people on your backstretch or on the front side around the game that are deserving on this front. The White Horse Award, the Community Service Award, and the Tribute to Excellence. And then Mike Smith will be the keynote speaker at the luncheon, which takes place Thursday each year of Breeders' Cup week. It'll be at the Triple Crown Room. I want to thank Scully and McGee and Tamaro and DeRosa and Bob Ike and Marcus Hirsch. Good luck this weekend, everybody. Talk to you Monday.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Join us at Presque Isle Downs for our two biggest days of racing. Sunday, September 16th, the $200,000 Presque Isle Mile. Monday, September 17th, the Grade II $400,000 Presque Isle Masters. North America's top filly and mare sprinters compete in the Premier Breeders' Cup Prep Race. Free Presque Isle Masters hats for the first 1,000 fans. Free T-shirts each night for the first 500 fans. September 16th and 17th, Presque Isle Downs, Erie, Pennsylvania. For more, go to PresqueIsleDowns.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why.